Hello, Pittsburgh and beyond. Welcome to episode 2 of Yinz Are Good, the podcast that shares stories of times when someone changed our lives for the better. We celebrate the good stuff that's happening out there and the good people who inspire us and remind us that compassion and sincerity exist even in these uncertain times. I am your host, Tressa Glover. I am thrilled that you have joined me again, or perhaps for the first time. I hope you all are well and continuing to navigate as best you can in these precarious times. But I am so excited about this episode, I do have to say. Not only do we have yet again some wonderful stories from our fellow Pittsburghers, but we also have our first installment of Yinzer Spotlight. Mm-hmm. What is that, you may wonder? Well, I'll tell you. It actually is where we feature a person or people or an organization that's doing good right now here in the Pittsburgh area. And I'll give you a little teaser, perhaps, for today's installment. We'll be headed to the North Side, and we're going to talk with La Teresa and Michael Blackwell of the Cafe on the Corner. But first, of course, I must remind you of how you can contact us with your stories. Please keep sending them in so we can keep having a show. You can call 1-833-399-GOOD or send us an email, yinzaregood@gmail.com. And that's just like the title of the podcast, yinzaregood@gmail.com. And I say, let's get right to it. It's time to hear from you, Pittsburgh. Our first story comes to us via email from Karen, who lives in Oakmont. And Karen sent this way back on March 30th of this year. Karen writes, "Last week, my neighbor was going on a grocery run. Beforehand, she had asked three of us for requests. The stay-at-home order was in place. I requested a couple staples, but was not so optimistic to request toilet paper. We were just getting by on our last few rolls and random boxes of tissues. The kids heard her leaving the porch after she'd dropped off the bags, and I was scrambling to make sure they didn't run out to hug her or get too close. After watching her walk back to her car, I opened the front door to find the most unexpected gift, a package of toilet paper. Not just a 4-pack, but a 12-pack. I was so thankful I started tearing up as I waved to her from the porch. Also, she wouldn't take any payment. Just requested that I let her know next time I go to the grocery store."
My name is Claire, and I live in South Hills, Pittsburgh. A man who influenced my life back when I was 18 and has it's incredible journey this brought me on. I lived in LA with he and his wife. They were like my spiritual advisors, and I was a car hop. And I was so excited because I was making $130 a week in tips. And Bob Smith said to me, "Why don't you tithe 10% of it and give it back to God?" And I was just, you know, squeamish about it. And he said, "Claire, God always gives you blessings back. And if it's hard to tithe, do something fun." And he said there was an organization called Christians Children's Fund. You could support, I think back then it was $10 a month, you could support the person and they would write you. And I kept saying, "Well, I'm making $130 now. What if I'm not making it then?" He said, "Claire, God will always provide for you." So over the years, I supported little children. And finally, years later, there was a little girl named Anella Tembo. She was 2 years old. And her uncle raised her, Simon Bright. And he called me, or didn't call me, he wrote me all the time. Fast forward, they didn't have cell phones then. They have cell phones. He's on Facebook. The little girl just got married. And I helped support them over the years. All glory to God. I always kept in touch with them. And she finally outgrew the program. To fast forward, 16 years ago, I came down with cancer, and he was praying. They go up to the mountains and fast and pray, and he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And he told me, Claire, you have been, you know, you obeyed God, and God told me he's going to heal you. And 16 years later, I'm cancer free. I bought her a doll. You're not supposed to send gifts over there because the mail system, they take all the gifts. She never got the doll. A year and a half later, it's like she never got the doll. The week I was diagnosed with cancer, I got a letter from him, and there was a picture of him with a house that I helped him build, and there was little Anella holding the doll. We have no idea what happened to that doll for a year and a half, but it was at a time when I needed him the most, and he's on my payroll now, and it's so cheap to support people over there, and I feel a little intimidated saying this because all glory goes to God. It's so cheap to find an organization. It's called Child Find. And we talk on the phone. He's a wonderful blessing in my life. And Anella, I might have said this, just had a baby. And it's wonderful. All because Bob Smith told me, tithe, give part of your money to the needy. So whether you believe in God or not, it doesn't matter. It's, you'll get blessings back from above.
Our third story comes to us again via email. This is from Alex, who lives in Mount Washington. I firmly believe that everything happens for a reason, and I think people that are in your life are meant to be there. I met my friend Julie Kaba via social media because she is a Pittsburgh photographer. She takes beautiful portrait photos, and she's always willing to collaborate and make some awesome art. We started with a vintage photo shoot back in 2016, and from there, she has become my family's holiday card photographer, boss, and friend. I say boss because, in addition to her photography business, Julie runs a company called Coffee Passport Pittsburgh. She started this company with her fiancé, Rodney, and the goal is to support indie and local coffee shops in this awesome city. So often, people just default to going to Starbucks or Dunkin' when they don't even realize that there are amazing shops right there in their backyard. How the passport works is that you can order a physical passport online or pick one up in the participating shops. On this passport, there are 10 different coffee shops in and around the Pittsburgh area. You visit the shop and redeem a free drink from a curated menu. It's a fun way to explore different parts of the city, especially if you love coffee, at about half the price. In 2018, I was looking for work to supplement my theater career, and Julie had approached me about being a brand ambassador for her company. She enticed me by saying that I would get to meet some pretty awesome people, try some delicious coffee, and create my own schedule, so I was on board. Each day, I would go to two or three different participating shops and set up a table. On the table, I had brochures and merchandise, and I was also able to sell passports myself. It was a super cool gig. I unfortunately do not work for CPP anymore, but they have continued to grow. I bring up this story because there's a particular shop called Mechanic Coffee Shop in this small part of Pittsburgh called Verona. I had never heard of this area, probably because when people think of this part of town, they immediately just know Oakmont or Penn Hills. Fast forward once more to 2019, when my boyfriend at the time was searching for houses. When discussing parts of town that he would be willing to live in, I said, "What about Verona?" He had never heard of it, but once I explained, he widened his search. If I hadn't met Julie, I wouldn't have worked for CPP, I never would have heard about the Verona area, and I probably would not have helped him find his first house. I always have to thank Julie for introducing me to this beautiful part of town. Verona is up and coming with a lot more businesses such as restaurants, coffee shops, breweries, cider houses, and just small businesses in general. If you ever get the chance, check it out and think of this cool story. And a huge thank you to Karen and to Claire and to Alex for sharing your stories with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And speaking of Claire, I actually reached out to her. She said she was from the South Hills, and I asked if she could be a little more specific, and she is from Cecil in Cecil Township. And of course, I want to send a big thank you to Karen's neighbor, and to Claire's friend, Bob Smith, and to Alex's friend slash boss, Julie Kaba. Yins are good. And speaking of Julie Kaba, I actually was not familiar with Coffee Passport Pittsburgh until I received Alex's email. And I thought, well, let me take this opportunity to learn more and spread the word about this local business with all of you. Perhaps you haven't heard about it either. So that is what is up next for you. I picked up the phone and gave Julie a call and asked her to tell us about her company. And so here you go. Julie Kaba with Coffee Passport Pittsburgh. So please, just right off the bat here, tell us about this awesome company of yours, your inspiration for it, Coffee Passport Pittsburgh.
So I actually am not alone in this. There is another part to, or the other half of Coffee Passport. His name's Rodney. He kind of does some of the back end stuff. But we started this together about, at the end of this year, it will probably be our 4-year mark, I believe. So it's been out for a while, and it's a business we started just because I think around 4 years ago was when the coffee scene was kind of starting to expand a lot more in Pittsburgh. And I started frequenting these independently owned shops a lot more than going to like chain going to chain coffee shops like Starbucks and whatnot. And I realized that, you know, a lot of these shops were so different from one another, and, you know, they all provide a different experience. And with Rodney's kind of background in business and all of that, we kind of brainstormed this idea together about creating a program that would not only assist these local coffee shops, but to also, you know, bring people in that might not have ever known about them. It's also been, the Passport has been a great tool for people coming in to visit as well. So essentially with this Passport program, we started off with one Passport that had 10 independently owned shops on it. And within a couple of years, we expanded to another one. And then, you know, we had a third one. Now we actually have 4. So we work with over 40 different shops. And when someone purchases one of these passports, they get to redeem a drink at each of the 10 shops. But also we have a sales, I guess, portion of this, you know, where the shops will actually sell the passports in the shop. And they, now we are allowing them to keep 100% of the sales money, especially after COVID hit. We kind of wanted to see like what we could change about the program to help everyone a bit more. So each passport is $20. So when they make, you know, when someone comes in and buys one, they get to just keep 100% of the money. And then we also do sell them online as well. We've really become like, you know, this item that people are, you know, coming back and getting because of these experiences. And it's been amazing. It's been a learning experience. You know, we actually like, you know, hired Alex. She did a tremendous job, you know, just going out to shops and getting us, you know, noticed a bit more.
So where can people go to learn more? Or if
we have our website, coffeepassportpgh.com, where everything's kind of laid out. We have all of our shops listed on there. You go on our website. Like I said, the list of shops are on there. The different passports are on there.
Thank you so much. And that sound means, that's right, it is time for our Name That Neighborhood segment of the podcast. And I have brought on for us again for episode 2, my husband, Don DiGiulio. Don, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yes. Yes, we're happy to have you. So Name That Neighborhood. Now, Don, you may recall the rules of our quiz segment here. And those of you listening may as well, but for those of you first-time listeners or those who just need a little recap, basically, I have some, we can call them questions. No, actually, they're statements about different neighborhoods, the ones that were mentioned by our three storytellers for this segment. So those neighborhoods, as you recall, would be Oakmont, Cecil, and Mount Washington.
Mm.
Yes. Now, are you familiar with Cecil, Don?
I'm not.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that it exists.
That's good. That's good. So Cecil actually is in Washington County, part of Cecil Township.
Okay.
Okay. So I have these statements, and Don is going to choose which neighborhood I am talking about. It will be either, what were they again, Don?
Oakmont, Cecil, and Mount Washington, I believe.
You are correct, sir. All right. You ready to do this?
Yes.
This neighborhood was home to Edgewater Steel until the plant was unfortunately shut down on October 5th, 2001. Edgewater Steel.
That feels like Oakmont to me.
It feels like you're correct to me. Well done. So, Edgewater Steel, yes, it was actually founded in October of 1916. Was a railroad wheel rolling facility. That is not easy to say. No. Railroad wheel rolling facility. And it was located right there in Allegheny River Boulevard and College Avenue. And eventually it expanded to produce forged and rolled products for use in combustion chambers of military and commercial engines for jets and rockets. Yeah, and it was Oakmont's largest employer for several years.
Wow.
Wow. So, all right, so Julia, one for one.
Okay.
All right, number two. First known for its abundant coal deposits, this neighborhood's location made it a natural area for settlements in the earliest days of Pittsburgh's growing industrial enterprises.
Well, for Pittsburgh, I'm going to say Mount Washington.
And you'd be right if you said Mount Washington. Absolutely. So, Mount Washington was originally known as Coal Hill because of its vast amounts of coal. And actually, the first mining of bituminous coal in the country began on Coal Hill in 1762. Now, I have to admit that I didn't quite know what bituminous meant. I don't know if you do.
Well, I only know anthracite, really.
What does that mean?
That's the other coal.
Oh, okay. So I'm gonna learn two things now. So anthracite. Okay. So, well, can you define that one?
No, I just know them by name.
Well, we're gonna Google that. But yeah. So bituminous, I'd heard it before, but never really knew the definition. So it is black coal having a relatively high volatile content, and it burns with a characteristically bright, smoky flame.
Black coal.
There it is.
Texas tea.
If only. The residents actually gathered the coal to heat their homes, and they also supplied the soldiers that were stationed at Fort Pitt, just down below there, just about at the point where, of course, the Allegheny and Monongahela rivers meet to form the Ohio. And also, by the 1860s, we're talking about, you know, all the industry that was happening. There was a lot of growth, and it went past the shipbuilding and some of these industries and turned into a lot of production of glass and iron in the area. So this required a bunch of new workers. And of course, those workers needed somewhere to live. So the nearby hillsides, including Mount Washington, were obviously an attractive option. And so that's what began that area, you know, developing into housing for folks.
Cool.
All right, two for two. And now we have this area is home to the Stevenson Campbell House, which is a historic log house that is one of the first examples of the conservation movement in the 1920s.
Well, I'm going to go with Cecil because there's a lot of land out in the Washington County countryside, maybe a log cabin.
You're very wise, Mr. DiGiulio. Yes, Cecil it is. So the Stevenson Campbell House was built in 1778 and then restored in 1928. It's on the U.S. National Register of Historic Places. And the entire property occupies over 22 acres. And there's that log house. And then there's also a 1929 Sears and Roebuck Company mail order bungalow style house, which is pretty cool. But the log house itself is 16 feet by 34 feet. And then there's also a series of additions that have been put onto it as well. Hmm. And when we talk about the conservation movement, so it's actually just one of the few examples of this movement in Washington County. So with this restoration of the log house started in 1928, and there was a carefully planned garden design in 1929, and those are the only known example of a back-to-nature single-family log house retreat established in that area at that time. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I know.
I'm fascinated that Sears Roebuck had houses you could buy over through the mail.
Yes, in the 1920s. Huh. All right. And next we got two more. You can find Emerald View Park, an expansive 257-acre green space that joined together historic park spaces in this neighborhood. Emerald View Park. Where is it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to stick with my gut on the land issue and just go back-to-back with Cecil here.
No!
Aww.
Oh my gosh, you actually got one wrong.
Well, no one's perfect.
That's true, Don. That's true. This actually is Mount Washington.
That's a lot of acres for Mount Washington.
I know, right? So it actually was formerly the Grand View Scenic Byway Park. And it joined together historic park spaces like Grand View, Olympia, Mount Washington, Duquesne Heights Greenway, and all these other green spaces. And it actually has a growing trail system that offers 10 miles of trails.
Wow.
Featuring loops that range from 1 to 4 miles. Surprising. I was surprised by that as well.
Yeah.
We're going to have to check that out. All right. That's all right, Don. That's all right. You're bound to miss one. You are. Are you feeling okay for this last one?
I think I'll be all right.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. The Kerr Museum is located in this neighborhood. It was once the home of a small town doctor, Dr. Thomas R. Kerr, his wife Jessie, and their daughter Virginia. It serves as an accurate depiction of middle class life between 1890 and 1910.
Oh, why not? Let's go for Oakmont.
Why not? That's the right answer. All right. So, yes. So, this actually, this museum is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And if you visit, you're able to tour all the rooms on the first and second floors of the home, in addition to the basement and Dr. Kerr's medical office. And this home, obviously, was in Oakmont. It provided an escape from the oftentimes harsh conditions of life in the city. And it portrays middle-class family life in the late 19th century. And this period was marked by the extremes of extraordinary wealth and grinding poverty, which overshadowed this emerging middle class. And so that is what the Kerr Museum provides.
Well, there you go.
Look at that. Don, 4 for 5 is impressive.
I mean, I'll take it.
And now we're happy to bring to you our Yinzer Spotlight. As I mentioned earlier, we're featuring La Teresa and Michael Blackwell, the owners of Cafe on the Corner in the North Side. Now, I first read about the Blackwells in an article on newpittsburghcourier.com. The article was by Ashley Woodson. And I was so inspired by the work they're doing in their community, and I knew I wanted to feature them in this segment. And let me tell you, we had a ball during this conversation. I only wish I had the time to play the phone call in its entirety for you, because it was enlightening and engaging and uplifting and just plain fun. But I think you'll probably pick up on that as you listen to the segments. So without further ado, here is my chat with La Teresa and Michael Blackwell. And I was wondering if you could start just telling us a little about yourselves, and then, of course, about Cafe on the Corner, and once the pandemic started, what you started doing, you know, with the cafe.
Absolutely. Well, first, we would like to thank you for having us. It is an honor to be here with Yens Are Good podcast. So thank you so much, Tressa, for having us.
Thank you for being here.
As I mentioned to you before, I'm just like a girlfriend. So we'll be having some girlfriend conversation here today.
Yes.
My name is La Teresa. They call me T, and I am co-owner of Cafe on the Corner. Cafe on the Corner opened its doors August the 6th, 2014. We celebrated 7 years this past August 6th. So we are thankful, wow, and we thank God for his faithfulness in keeping those doors open, because we didn't, some days was bleak and we just didn't know, but he kept those doors open, and we're a product of that, and we're thankful. It's a roller coaster ride. Some days is up, some days is down, it's slow, it's busy. And Michael is an artist at what he does in the cooking industry. I know how to cook at 22 Plow Street. That's my address, my home address. But when you're cooking in a restaurant, that's a different style of cooking.
Right.
So, we've learned through these past 7 years, we've learned to stay in our lane. And my husband is the production. He's on the ground. He is making things happen in the cafe. And I'm on the administrative side, making sure that the doors are staying open, that we're continuing to do what we need to do legally and, you know, networking on my side. So we've learned that over the years. We haven't perfected, but we're on our way.
Yeah. Wow. Since, you know, when you're talking about legally, even with since the pandemic, how have you held up? How has the cafe done business-wise and otherwise?
That's a good question. Prior to, you know, surprisingly, prior to COVID-19, Cafe on the Corner was struggling a little bit. Because as I mentioned, we're in a residential community. So we were struggling a little bit. And my husband even mentioned, you know, that we were looking at maybe even shutting the doors, you know, not being open as much. But when the pandemic hit, Cafe on the Corner took a complete about face for the positive. Because when the pandemic hit, we sat down, we had a conversation about what we were going to do, how we were going to survive, and how we were going to scale forward. And we have a dining space. We just built a brand new kitchen. So we had all of this space. We had the kitchen, and we didn't want to just shut the door. So during our pillow talk, We discussed what we were going to do, and what came to us was an opportunity to feed our community. Cafe on the Corner, we actually launched a nonprofit. It's an arm out of Cafe on the Corner into our community. We launched it in 2016. And through the support of so many, the Vibrancy Fund, Pittsburgh Foundation, the Poise Foundation, Catalyst Kitchen. Through those funds, we were able to turn our once dine-in facility into a mass community meal production. And we were able to provide free meals to our community members over 1,000 children and families and over 400 seniors. We had 4 high rises that we actually was blessed to be able to serve free lunch, and we delivered 100 meals to each one of those high rises. And we were able to hire 6 individuals from our community. That was something that we did not have prior to COVID-19. We were able to bring on alumni from our previous cohort in the nonprofit. And out of that, Tressa, the community responded again in ways that wowed us. Money poured in places and in ways we could have never, ever imagined. Because one thing that we stand, me and my husband are Christians, and we stand firm on what God's word says, where much is given, much is required. And so when you have much, you got to give it away. You have to pour back out. And so that's what we were charged to do, was to feed our community, to give it away.
What happened was, if we began to, our community began to really take a notice of who we were and what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And then due to Black Lives Matter, supporting Black-owned businesses, not only our community came out to support us, but the surrounding communities began to come out and to support us. And through that, we began to, Cafe on the Corner began to stand on its own. The word began to get out because we offer such a unique meal, a nice Southern meal, which consists of gumbo and red beans and rice and shrimp and grits and oxtail stew. So folks began to say, and we do ribs and mac and cheese and barbecue chicken and yams and greens. So that began to, folks began to say, wow, how long have you been here? And we began to tell our story. And now through that, through supporting the Black-owned businesses and all of that, now our clientele has recognized who we are and where we are, and also, as my wife mentioned, our outreach and how they've seen how we took what we had and began to, without selfishness, began to feed our community.
Yes. And is there, do you have a website or a place for folks to go to get some more info?
Yes, you can go to Cafe on the Corner, pgh.org. So Cafe on the Corner, pgh.org.
Okay.
And we do offer catering services as well.
Wow.
But what we really, what the community is really embracing is we do a chicken, shrimp, and crab meat gumbo over rice with cornbread. And we have it. We had it in Giant Eagles. We had it in Shop and Save prior to pandemic. We also had it down at the Strip at some of the private clubs down there. So that is our signature dish, which is the gumbo. And that's where the community is just coming out, and they are just really embracing that. So when you go to our website, go to Facebook and some of those other
Social media,
and you punch in gumbo, Cafe on the Corner will pop up.
You're both so inspiring. And, you know, and again, when I had read a little about Cafe on the Corner, what you were doing, and you all, that was the first thing that, the first word that popped into my mind was just being inspired by you. And that's why, you know, on this podcast, we're celebrating the good people and the good things that good people are doing. And it's such an honor to talk to both of you.
Thank you.
About all of this.
But we do have a need.
Yeah.
We do have a need. Even through it all, even though we have told you some good things, but there's some things out there for us to continue in our campaign of feeding our community to recovery, there's a need because I'm going to just speak blank to you.
Sure.
You know, when things are being dispersed, because my wife, she's on it all the time. She spent hours and hours and hours as we reach out to different organizations and how we're such a small pea in this big realm of nonprofit that they never, I mean, we really was ever heard, and how we embrace our community and how we need funding for our community because our mm-hmm. community is overlooked. You know, it's an urban area, it's a poor area, it's 99% black and single mothers of household, a huge elderly population up in here. So, you know, it's always overlooked. And my wife and I, we needed to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so hard to get our story out there so people may begin to pay attention to what's going on in our community that we have lived here almost 30 years.
Living in a community or doing business in a community where the disparity is real, as we are folk or we are faced with a lot of that. Me and my husband are blessed to be able to have something to share. And over these past 7 years, we have neither one of us have had a paycheck. We've not had a paycheck, and we're okay with that because we feel compelled. We have a conviction, a strong conviction to serve and to give back. But we do want a paycheck. we do desire to have a little bit of something. But you know what, Tressa? We have not lacked in anything. We don't want for nothing. And one thing that I know for sure, that when you give, it comes back to you in good measure. And that is exactly, you know, and as you mentioned before, there's a lot of bad news. You turn on the news, there's bad news. You go on social media, there's bad news. But there mm-hmm. is some good going on in our city of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And Cafe on the Corner is a hidden gem. We are truly, truly doing some great things in our community. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm going to toot. We are doing some wonderful things in our community, but in order for us to stay afloat, we're asking for those who would like to come alongside us. You can go to our webpage and you can find a donate button. You can go to GoFundMe, Feed Our Community, where you can go in and donate there. So there are ways for people to be able to continue to contribute and to help, because together we stand stronger. Come on out and eat. You know, the doors of the cafe is all open. And to the listeners, come on out, 2700 Shaylin Avenue. Come out and get you some good food, some good gumbo. And not only do we provide good food, but we provide good conversation. People come in just to talk. Some people come in for prayer. People stop in to get a good laugh.
As a man, as a black man, for those who are listening, if you would like to have a nice conversation, if you need to share something that no one wants to listen to, or if you would like to get some positive feedback, my name is Elder Blackwell. I've been an elder in my church for over 18 years. If you would like to have a good conversation, come and sit down and have a conversation with Chef Blackwell. I definitely have something to say, but more so, I have a good ear to hear.
Thank you both so much. I am coming by for food. And my husband too, he's ready. Because I already told him, so. Is it more of a takeout situation now? Or
yes.
Okay, yeah, it's still, right. Okay, I didn't know
if there was any outdoor. Yeah, due to the pandemic, it is takeout.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'll take my gumbo to go. That's fine.
I'm just forewarning you that you're going to be hooked. Thank you, Tressa. Yeah. I appreciate you. And thanks again for having us on.
Oh, my gosh. You are so welcome. Thank you for your time.
Yes, yins are good.
I love it. Ah, what incredible people. And I do want to let you know that if you are interested in heading on over to Cafe on the Corner and picking up some food, they are open Tuesdays through Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And that is going to do it for us here. Episode 2, Yins Are Good. Thank you again so much for joining me. So until next time, Pittsburgh, be safe, be kind, be good. Special thank yous going out to Julie Kaba from Coffee Passport Pittsburgh, and of course to La Teresa and Michael Blackwell of Cafe on the Corner. Also a shout out to Mike Rubino for our Yins Are Good artwork, and of course to our Name That Neighborhood special guest, Don DiGiulio.